If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8. You know, I know Christmas is coming up. I'm not going to preach a Christmas message. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, it's my desire to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Luke chapter 8, we see what it was like being with the Lord Jesus Christ as one of his disciples. I don't know, I can't even imagine what it would have been like for 3+ years to have traveled around with the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Just to imagine what it was like to talk with him and hear him teach and preach, and what it would be like to fellowship with Jesus Christ personally. We're going to have that reward in heaven someday, amen? And what it was like to eat with him and actually lay under the stars of the Judean night and literally lay next to the embodiment of God in human flesh. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. And here in Luke chapter 8, we get a little glimpse of this in verses 1 through 3. And it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God." And notice, "And the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, of whom we know much about, and it says, out of whom went 7 devils, and some lesser known figures, and Joanna," only the second time she's ever mentioned in the New Testament, "the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna," who's, this is the only time Susanna's mentioned. We don't know who she is, but she was a disciple of the Lord. And, notice this, "and many others," unnamed others, "but they were many, which ministered unto him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "of their substance." May we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, now I pray that you would help us to focus our attention tonight on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful that you established a biblical pattern for missions and for ministry. And we see that here in Luke chapter 8. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your holy word. And Lord, help us to realize that what matters the most to you should matter the most to us. And Lord, help us to be aware of what it would have been like to have been with the first missionary. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would meet with us this evening. And we ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we all know, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And Jesus also said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." You know, it was David Livingstone, that great Scottish missionary. Now, I have to put a plug in for the Scots because I'm a Scotchman, okay? But God had only one son, and he made him a missionary. Amen? It was Henry Martin, another one, great missionary of days gone by, that said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Christ, the more intensely missionary we become." And I believe we see in these three short verses what it would have been just to have a little glimpse of being with that first missionary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who descended down from heaven, gave up his glory with his heavenly Father, heard the angels sing his praises, and yet he descended down to this sinful world to die for the sins of the likes of me. And people just like you, thank God for His salvation. And we see here in verse number 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went. Well, we know that word went is a verb, and it's a past tense verb. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost? And I see by Jesus Christ coming to this earth, we see His obedient spirit. Oh, my friends, Jesus, He said in John 5, verse 30, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And in John 6, verse 38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven, and I'm so thankful He did. Not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And oh, would to God that each of us as God's children would have that type of an obedient spirit to do the will of our Heavenly Father. My friend, God did not place you and me here as His children to do our own thing, to do our own business, but to do His will. You see, Christ Jesus took His ministry before Him, and He went about it regularly. Even at the young age of 12 years of age, the only scriptures we have recorded of Jesus when He was a boy, as He was raised in the village of Nazareth, He went up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple with His earthly parents. And as you know, in Luke chapter 2, He got separated from His earthly parents. And they searched all over Jerusalem for Jesus. And they found Him sitting there near the Temple Mount, right there at the temple. And He was conversing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the doctors of the law. And Mary and Joseph said, son, do you not know that we have sought thee sorrowing? And Jesus' reply as a 12-year-old lad, Luke 2, verse 49, or wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? And my friend, you and I are on our Father's business. God has given us our time here on earth. It's a short amount of time. God has put us here not to be rich and famous, but to make Jesus known to an entire lost world. Amen? Oh, listen, my friend, we see His obedience. And would to God that we would see the purpose for why God has saved us and placed us here in such a time and place as this, to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. Somebody said, the evangelization of the world waits not on the readiness of God, but on the obedience of Christians. And it was A.B. Simpson who said, the Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the heathen world. And my friend, we live in a world of almost 7.5 billion people, and the great majority of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only do we see His obedience in verse number 1, but we also see His vision for souls. And here in verse 1 it says, He went throughout every city and village. And oh, thank God, we see the great heart of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the four Gospels. And I want to challenge you this coming year, even start now to begin to read the four Gospel accounts of the missions ministry, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and read it in a missions context. That Jesus, being the first missionary, came. And here in verse 1, we see His vision. Oh, I'm reminded of Matthew 9, 36 through 38. But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ has the ultimate vision for lost souls. For it is Jesus Christ who came to die for lost souls. Oh, listen, my friend, we see the great heart of Jesus Christ. This shows where he preached. He went throughout every city and village preaching. Matthew 9, verse 35 says, and Jesus went up about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You see, Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He didn't stay put in one place very long. He did not confine himself to that one place, but he diffused the beams of the light of the gospel in more places, perhaps having found his preaching most acceptable where it was new. He went about through every city that none might plead ignorance. Nor did he confine himself just to the cities, but he went into the villages as well. He set an example to his disciples then. And by the way, this book is still applicable to us today. And the very words of Jesus Christ should jump off the pages to us, where he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Oh, my friend, may we too have a vision, for without a vision, the people perish. Oh, we see his obedience. We see his vision. And thirdly, we see his ministry. And it says there in verse 1, he went throughout every city and every village preaching. Can you imagine? Three and a half years. That was the length of his ministry. Then he died on an old rugged cross. 3.5 years or so, he went throughout every city and village in that holy land, preaching the gospel, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Oh, my friend, we see here the ministry of Jesus Christ. What Christ made the constant business of his life was preaching. One day in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah written in chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, 700 years plus before Jesus appeared in his little synagogue in the village of Nazareth. And he went in Luke chapter 4, and he asked the rabbi for the book of Isaiah. And Jesus, as the very Word of God, opened the written Word of God before the people gathered there that day. And this is what Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I think preaching was foremost on his heart and in his soul. Amen. For Jesus did come to preach. Oh, that was his ministry, and in that work he was tireless. This shows what he preached. He showed the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And my friend, Jesus desires for us to be his preachers, to be his witnesses to a lost and dying world. Oh, listen, my friend. He came to tell the children of men that God was willing to take all those under his protection that were willing to be reconciled to God. And he went about doing good even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And oh, ladies and gentlemen, God has put us here on this planet for a very good reason, and that is to preach the gospel to those who've never heard. Oh, it may be those that are here in Rotorua. It may be those around the North Island or the South Island of New Zealand. It may be some faraway distant land. Maybe there's someone here that would be willing to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Maybe you'd be willing to take on the wonderful profession of being a missionary. I can't think of anything better to be. That's what our Savior did. Amen. But we're all to be missionaries. Amen. That's all our divine mission. And we see not only His obedience, and we see not only His vision, and not only His ministry, but look here in verse number 1, we see His partners in ministry. And it says, "And the 12 were with Him." We know a little bit of thing. We won't reiterate who the 12 were. But we know men like John and Simon Peter and Andrew and others, and yes, even Judas, lost Judas Iscariot was one of His disciples. Oh, we see here a few of the many who labored with Jesus Christ. They were with Him not to preach necessarily, because He was present. And oh, what it would have been like to have heard Jesus preach. Amen. One day we're going to get to hear Him preach, Pastor. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And oh, let me tell you, but they were there to learn from Him what and how to preach thereafter, after He went back up into glory. And if occasion were to be sent to places where Jesus could never go, happy were those His servants that heard His wisdom and followed His example. And then it says in verse 2, "And certain women," not to leave the women out. Oh, they were not numbered among the 12 apostles. I realize that. But thank God for the faithful women who ministered unto the Lord Jesus. If you read Mark chapter 14 sometime, or Mark chapter 15 and Luke 23, you're going to see some of these faithful women that followed their Savior Jesus all the way to the cross. And then they went to the tomb where He was laid to anoint His body. Oh, listen, they were faithful to the very end. Thank God for the faithful ladies of Bible Baptist Church here that serve alongside your husbands and serve alongside your pastor and his wife, and you're faithful in the work of the ministry. Every church needs good men and ladies. Amen. And by the way, teenagers, boys and girls, everybody combined. You see, oh, thank God. It says there, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. Oh, listen, my friend, Jesus did not minister in isolation, and neither should we minister in isolation. We are not a one-man island. Amen? In fact, there's 4.5 million people, I think, on the island, in the nation, the island nation of New Zealand. Amen? How many believers are there to partner with together to reach this country for the Lord? Rather, Jesus took with Him those who would eventually share in preaching and ministering to others. And my friends, Jesus Christ, in His earthly missions ministry, lived upon the kindness of His friends. Some of them are named, but there were many others who were affected by His preaching and ministry and healing of both body and soul. And because they found themselves benefactors of Christ's mercy and love and forgiveness and salvation, they felt themselves debtors. And in showing charity, they hoped that others might find benefit by their ministries to them. Oh, thus they joined in ministry with Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, let me ask you this evening, are you counted among the many others that still continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? You may not be with Him in His earthly ministry, but I can assure you, where two or more are gathered together in His name, there am I, Jesus said, in the midst of them. Jesus is here. Though He's unseen, we are still serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And then, by the way, let me say this. The Lord is still looking for many others to serve Him. Amen. And it may be people that are not yet saved that one day they'll get to serve the Lord if we're faithful to share Christ with them. Oh, we see not only His obedience, not only His vision, and not only His ministry, which was preaching, and not only His partners in ministry, but last but not least, we all know that a missionary needs support. When the Montgomerys came here for the first time, thank God, they went around America to independent Bible-believing Baptist churches looking for two things: prayer support and financial support. Amen? And aren't you thankful that they gained that support and they could come here? Amen? And as far as I know, from reading all their prayer letters and looking around this place, they've been pretty good missionaries. Amen? Now, he's your pastor. Praise God for that. And, you know, that took a lot of prayers on the part of God's people. That took a lot of sacrifice. That takes hard work on their part and on the members of the churches that have promised to support them and take them on in the past. But Jesus, it says there in verse number 3, it says, which ministered unto Him of their substance. You see, Jesus didn't go on deputation. Okay? But He always had those that followed Him that would minister unto Him of His daily physical needs. You see, Jesus Christ, though He was God in the flesh, He was still a man. Amen? But He's the God-man. Amen? And He had the same physical needs that we have. He needed to sleep. He needed to rest. He needed to eat. He needed to drink. He needed to get alone for a while. He needed to refresh Himself in the Word of God. He was God, but He was still man. Oh, we learn here that Jesus Christ lowered Himself to be dependent on the sacrifices and the gifts of others. You think about that. God became a man and He had to be supported by those that followed Him. Oh, there were many of them that ministered to Christ of their substance. We know not what that substance was. It only says in verse 3, they ministered unto Him of their substance. It may have been some of those faithful men, disciples. Maybe they went into a village somewhere and they found somebody that could make Him a pair of sandals. Or maybe they made them themselves, or maybe some of those women faithfully cooked over an open fire as they fed Jesus Christ and the other disciples, or maybe one of those women sewed Jesus Christ a cloak that He could wear in the wintertime in Judea. But I don't know what they gave of their substance, but it is mentioned right here in the Holy Word of God. So it meant something to Jesus Christ to mention it here. Amen. Oh, my friends, every time we give of our time to the Lord, Jesus takes notice. Whenever we give of our tithes and our missions offering, all of heaven takes notice. Whenever we give something of substance to the Lord and to His church and to those that are in need, I can assure you Jesus sees it and He takes note. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, His ministry no doubt was benefited by what they did and what they gave to him. And it was an instance of that condition to which our Savior humbled himself, and that he needed what they provided. And in his great humility and condescension, that he accepted their free will gifts and offerings. Oh, listen. Christ received their substance and their service. I believe, number one, to honor poverty by subjecting himself to poverty. You know, when I think about it, the Bible says, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And then I see Jesus Christ received their substance and service to humble himself in receiving gifts from his very creatures that his hand had created. Think about that. Oh, Philippians 2, it says, he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And oh, I believe Christ received their substance and their service. Thirdly, that he may teach the ministers of the gospel to depend on the providence and the provision of their Heavenly Father. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is the life not more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My friend, listen, as long as we're faithfully serving the Lord and putting the Lord first, and we're going out representing Jesus Christ with His glorious gospel, Jesus is going to take care of our needs. That my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then I see Christ receive their substance and service to make a way for those He had healed to show their great gratitude to Him. One of those was Mary Magdalene. And oh, you remember the story, how she came into the house of Simon the leper, and she had an alabaster box of ointment. And the Bible says that she lavished that gift. Some say that gift of that lavish ointment or perfume was worth a year's wages of a man in those days. And yet she poured it on the feet and upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ and anointed Him with her loving service for what He had done to save her soul. And then, my friends, Christ received their substance and service that He might not be burdensome to the poor whom He went to preach to and minister to. All foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Yet there were some people that watched out over Jesus Christ and took care of Him. Oh, my friend, their property, their possessions, and their acts of kindness, Jesus willingly shared, or they shared with Jesus Christ to further His missions ministry. You know, somebody said that giving ourselves to God means allowing Him to have what He already owns. Giving ourselves to God means allowing Him to have what He already owns. My friend, everything we have in our possession belongs to God. Amen? In conclusion, these ministers of Jesus Christ had obedient spirits just like Him. Let me ask you tonight, as a child of God, do you have that obedient spirit like Jesus had, like these disciples had? Oh, they had the great heart and vision of Christ for lost souls. Do you have that vision and that heart for the lost? Oh, they became one in ministry. I wonder, you know, think about this. We are laborers together with God. We are one in ministry 2,000 years later with Jesus Christ. Are you one in ministry with Him? By the way, the Lord's still looking for faithful partners in ministry even today. And I wonder, oh, listen, they became one in ministry. They became His willing partners. And they supported Him in His missions ministry with their substance. You know, when we involve ourselves in our local churches about supporting worldwide missions and missionaries that are going around the world, we give our hard-earned dollars, the work that God has allowed us to do and make money to be able to support the outreach ministry of Bible Baptist Church. You see, when we do that, we involve ourselves in the ongoing missions ministry of Jesus Christ. You see, somebody said, the sun never sets on our ministries around the world. Amen. If we're involved in supporting missions and missionaries through our local church, the sun never sets on the missions ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, it's still going on. It's still continuing. Isn't it a wonderful enterprise to be involved in? To be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ, with others just like us? You know, that will unify a local church body like nothing else can do. When we make it our supreme mission, just like Jesus did, to get the gospel to a lost and dying world, and even our own Jerusalem. Amen? Oh, are you one of His willing partners? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever You want me to do? I want to be obedient. Let's bow our heads in prayer.